Okay, I'd like to call the Real Property Committee meeting to order. It's 4:00 Wednesday, June 6, 2018. And acknowledge that the press and the public were duly notified in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. The first item on the agenda is approval of the previous minutes meeting from the regular meeting of May 10th and the special meeting that we held on May 22nd.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Next is citizens' comments. Are there any citizens that would like to make comments? Elizabeth Campson.
I sit now, I've not been here with this.
You can sit with a microphone.
Pick a microphone. Is it on?
Yes, they're on.
Okay.
Sorry.
You can pull it forward, you can angle.
Do you want to move this way and maybe? Elizabeth, you can move to the corner.
Slide around so you don't have to back.
All right. Is that good? Yeah, I can hear myself. Okay. Elizabeth Campson, 32 Intercoastal Court. I'm here to address item 6B. I think it's still 6B.
Elizabeth, can you pull the mic a little bit closer?
Even closer, okay.
That should be coming out of the speaker.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Okay, here we go. 6B on the agenda, which is the discussion of the proposed amendment 2018-09. As a result of the research compiled to identify potential off-site parking areas for the marine employees, the city became aware of an agreement between the Citadel and Wild Dunes for a similar off-site arrangement intended to support the new hotel. I detailed my objections to that in that email, and so I'm going to spare everybody by not rehashing them now. But in a nutshell, I don't think the Citadel can offer off-site parking or construction staging areas to unrelated entities just because the Citadel themselves enjoy a non-conforming status in our residential district. The non-conforming use they enjoy is the operation of the beach club. It's not the operation of a parking lot, I don't think. Their own website very clearly states that the parking and facilities are not available for use by the general public at any time, and that parking is only authorized for guests of the venue or members of the Citadel family to use the beach. So all other guests of the, all others are subject to ticketing and towing. So in my mind, pretty plainly, the parking at the site is only offered to support the operation of the beach club. I do not believe these elements are or can be separated or expanded to include those who aren't guests of the venue or members of the Citadel Beach family. Any plan to do so by the Citadel for the benefit of Wild Dunes would serve to subject that residential area to not only a level of commercial encroachment currently endured, but thereafter to a greatly magnified level as Wild Dunes works to find parking for a 150-room inn that could conceivably house all of those people in the rooms, 200 wedding guests, and all employees supporting the inn and the event venue in a building that they've chosen to construct with 139 parking spaces. On evenings when the Citadel also has an event scheduled, the SR1 neighborhoods caught between probably 41st and the new hotel will be subjected to a level of commercial encroachment that could very easily be double the existing burden. This isn't even considering the potential burden the construction of the hotel could bring to that area. Overall, I don't believe that either amending our code to place overflow off-site commercial parking in our neighborhoods or allowing the Citadel to operate its non-conforming use in an unchecked manner is wise. Like all municipalities, our ordinances speak repeatedly of maintaining the integrity of our residential neighborhoods by discouraging the encroachment of commercial uses into them. This amendment and the Citadel plan each contemplate the exact opposite. I'm here to ask that this committee discuss these matters in the hopes that you will recommend the city take any and all actions necessary to protect the integrity of our residential districts.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I just printed some stuff from the website. And there you go.
I know, I love you.
I saw you scribbling and I almost said, "You can stop."
Thanks.
Thank you.
Any other citizens would like to speak? And state your name and address for the record, please.
Arnold Carrick, 5102 Palm Boulevard, and here to address concerns about the encroachment of commercial operations into residential neighborhoods. And I think the last election pretty clearly stated how the citizens of Isle of Palms feel about that matter. Elizabeth did an excellent job, and my concerns are along identical lines. Listened at many town council meetings to the concern about marina overflow and its impact on the neighborhood, but yet have not heard a suitable solution come out of that. And certainly any solution that would just move it out of one neighborhood and put it in another is unacceptable. And then more recently heard discussion about an ordinance that would in fact facilitate just such activity, pushing commercial activity into residential areas. And I assume from looking at the agenda that that is ordinance 2018-9, and I would violently object to that even though I haven't read it yet. Certainly I understand Wild Dunes has the capacity to build that hotel, and that the town of Isle of Palms, city of Isle of Palms, really doesn't have a say in that. But we should have a say in the fact that any activity associated with that stay within the confines of the resort. Certainly, they have the capability of accommodating construction staging, adding additional parking. They just don't want to do it. It's easier to push it out into the neighborhoods. And that's not what needs to be done. We need to preserve the integrity of our SR1 neighborhoods, which this is going through. I also find very troubling the impression they are trying to create about moving employees off and therefore decreasing the traffic. To maintain a venture of that size is going to take a tremendous amount of employees on a daily basis, and so let's not be fooled by that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Any other citizens?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I'd like to make a motion to reorder the agenda to after comments from marina tenants. Let's take new business 6B, discussion of ordinance 2018-9, and put it up ahead of old business. Since we have a lot of people here that are interested.
Yeah, I'll second that. No issue here. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
While we're making motions, I might have been remiss on this. One item that I will also make a motion to add to the agenda is I had an intention to discuss some of the outcomes of the special marina operations meeting that we had, because all of these issues tie together, and it's virtually impossible, unless I just lump it into one of these other categories, to have that discussion without labeling it a separate item. So okay. Make that motion.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Your motion is to add
comments. Discussion of marina operations meeting that was held.
I don't believe we had a second that.
Yeah. Okay.
Second.
Now but
we did that, but okay. Do all in favor?
Aye.
Got to make it official.
Yes. I thought we did it.
It is now.
Anyhow, we will add that after item A, but in consideration of what Councilman Ward asked. After the comments from marina tenants, we will certainly address that.
I'll go first.
Come on up.
All right. Thank you.
Hello. How's everybody?
Good.
How's everybody doing?
Feels
today?
Like Friday.
What's that?
It feels like Friday.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Michael, would you move the chair here so that your back is not to
Sit closer to me.
That's my best side.
Well, no offense.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to
For the record, for those that
Michael
don't
Fim,
know,
Tidal Wave Water Sports. The first thing I'm going to come approach y'all about is more dealing with the citizen aspect of things. So you and I, Randy, you and I had touched on the other day in respects to talking about the parking solution in island wide. I've been in. If you've all been downtown recently, you've noticed maybe a bike share program that's going on down there. There's one in front of Revelry Brewing and a couple other places, and I've contacted them, and they're very interested in coming out here and giving a presentation. They've had over 51,000 people use it since May of last year. They also, and I did not know this, that they also have a low voltage vehicle share program. Now, I'd be remiss if I said that I knew everything that was going on with this, but, you know, I spoke with Mayor Carroll briefly, and he thinks it's a good idea to look into this. And, you know, we don't have any, you know, we obviously all know that there's a problem here with parking. And, you know, other major cities, major metropolitan areas that have, you know, limited space and a lot of cars look into this alternative eco-friendly stuff. So I'm requesting and asking if I can bring them next real property meeting and see if we can discuss this.
I'd be happy to add that to the agenda.
Okay, and additionally, I was instructed by Mayor Carroll to talk to Douglas about any legalities that we might have moving forward with that. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Secondly, I would like to ask this request from the city if I could build a fence in between my end of the Isle of Palms Marina and the adjacent property owner's house. In doing so, I would also like to redo the green fence. I know, Sandy, you're not that big of a fan of it, but I feel like if I make it really, really nice that you might like it. I've put together a couple different pictures of a couple different styles that I've just picked at random. I thought about even putting planter boxes out in front of them just to kind of spruce up the area. All this would be done at my cost, not yours. I guess the only real question would be, I would like to know, would request to get variance on height restrictions in regards to between the adjacent neighbor and myself.
Douglas, if I may, I was down there. Those fences are abysmal. I mean, they're just horrible at this point. Do we have a height restriction?
Only in the residential district. So in a commercial district, it wouldn't be a problem.
So we can exceed 6 feet?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to pass these out and just give these all to the three of you. And by no means do I think
one is... Do you want commentary on styles? You just want to...
No, I mean, I'm just literally just... The first one, the slip fence, I just thought that would be the easiest to maintain if we ever had to move thing or open up a section. That would lend itself to, you know, ease of that. Anything else, I really would be open to any suggestions on.
Okay.
So, I mean, I know that, you know, this probably won't get done right away, but, you know, I'd like to do this and do it well.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Thank you so much for listening.
And again, I'd like to commend you for the second time you've come, at least with creative ideas, of trying to address solutions instead of problems. Thank you.
Thanks.
Next tenant? Michael, any comments? Okay.
I'm a tenant.
Yeah, please.
So I'm Chris Crowley. I live in 6485 Allendale. And I run the coastal expeditions, the kayaking venue at the marina. And I wasn't aware that we were doing anything wrong out there until I got a letter from that was not sent to me but was forwarded to me with Morgan Creek Grill's name on it. And it goes over a lot of things that seem reasonable. And then out of the blue, there's a paragraph that says, regarding coastal expeditions. And then it goes on to say, we ask that the trailer be moved off its current location within the shared tenants' parking area. We understand through conversation with the city, I'm not sure who at the city, just at the city, that they were allowed 2 parking spaces, which should amount to 16 feet total width for the trailer and its operation. Their current footprint is 30 feet wide. In addition, we are told that they are out of compliance with the variance obtained from the city. I don't know who would have told them that, or I don't believe we're out of compliance. I called Douglas and asked him about it. Be reminded that Morgan Creek Grill was never consulted or notified of the placement of the trailer. I was just there and couldn't, I don't know where I'd have to put a tape to get 30 feet as far as the footprint that the trailer's taken up. Coastal Expeditions has been working out of the marina since 1992, and we have tried to be good to the people of the Isle of Palms and to its visitors. I really consistently feel like I don't, like me being here keeps me from just keeping my head down and doing the good work, you know? I've got a child care professional watching my kid right now and somebody else running my business. And I honestly, I feel like I'm being, you know what I feel like? I feel like my 4-year-old, she'll be 5 in August. She came home one day and there was a new kid in the class named Brock that was picking on her, right? And she was getting picked on the playground, you know? And that's what I feel like. I feel like I'm getting picked on the playground. And we voluntarily moved so we didn't incite even more pressure on an already overpressured and overvolume crowded boat ramp. We voluntarily moved. That cost us $15,000 to do that. And now we are where we are. And not having the space, the little bit of space that we do have, would be like parking your car in a parking lot and not being able to open the doors to get out. You know, we're not bulging at the seams and taking up a gross amount of space at the marina. We have enough room to park the trailer and enough room for somebody to stand or a few people to stand in front of it. It's not 30 feet. And it's just like, who's out there when I'm not around pulling a tape? You know, why send a letter, Jay, to the city instead of coming to talk to me? You know, we're good neighbors, we're fair people. There's a, you know who manages the trailer, the Coastal Expeditions trailer at the Isle of Palms Marina? The guy named Chesley Fulgham. You know, and the Isle of Palms Marina location, it doesn't get any drive-by traffic, and it's at the dead end part of the road, and it is not our highest grossing store. But it's important for Chesley to manage that location. It's important for him to pay his rent. It's important for him to live his life. And he's a good guy, you know? And he's just out there trying to manage that location and do his work. And to get bullied around and pushed around without any consideration of notification, without, hey, a phone call, hey, Chris, let's look at this, you know? I was just there and I took a picture. The trailer's parked just like the ordinance says it can be. There's another car parked right beside it, so it's impossible to do business out of the left side of the trailer if you're facing it. And then there's a place that we've tried to put some wood chips down and some rocks, which constitutes two parking places. And I parked right next to that. I feel like I'm getting bullied on the playground, y'all, and I'd like for it to come to an end.
Yeah. If I may, I'd like to address it as a broader issue. By the way, I don't think you're alone in feeling bullied. You've got one sitting behind you that I'm pretty sure has felt bullied in some of these meetings, not by council, by the way, but there's a broader issue. We have 19 businesses under lease operating out of that marina site, and it's 5.123 acres, right? So our responsibility is only to ensure that those are compliant to whatever zoning exceptions or issues are out there. And I do happen to know it, in terms of Board of Zoning Appeals, it was a place for a trailer, a place for a car, period. We have not been engaged in saying you need to move. I think Michael might have conveniently got up and walked out, but I'm only picking on him so that you don't feel alone in being bullied. But you know, he's also been asked to move back to his original footprint. We took a position, we're not managing where people are located within the marina site. It's not our responsibility, right? Our responsibility is to ensure that the ordinances and the codes that are in place are adequate and enforced adequately, period. Having said that, we are challenged with the multitude of businesses, 15 businesses, outside of the control of the city, right? So if you feel picked on, please don't. And I've heard the comments that we're anti-business. No, we're not. We're very pro-resident. The people that are getting the worst deal out of the marina right now are the people that live here, right? Because, you know, I literally, and we'll have it as an agenda item, but I don't know where to park when I go to the marina. I look at it and I see a commercial entity owned by the city with lots of businesses doing better than they've ever done before, at the exclusion of the residents. So please, understand from us sitting up here, and please weigh in, there's no intention to pick on any singular business there. We are trying to get that property under a proper amount of control so that it affords some value back to the residents who are funding it in large part, and in a way that is the purpose of buying this, to provide what I still believe to be residents' access to the water, not everybody else. So thank you for your comments, but please do understand, we're not trying to bully you at all, and we're not weighing in on anything other than are you compliant to the terms that you have.
So there's no feeling on council, there's nobody on council that's suggesting perhaps Coastal Expeditions needs to be evicted from the marina? Nobody's made that suggestion that this would help parking get Coastal Expeditions out of there?
I will own up to everything I've said in any of these meetings. I believe businesses, and this is Brian's responsibility, the operator, Brian Berrigan, not council's, he needs to look at his businesses and weigh them in terms of the impact on the capacity of the site relative to the value that it brings to him commercially. Right, so if you're, you know, a high dollar, low impact business, and I've used you as an example, not picking on you in any way, shape, or form. I said, I look at a business and I see two parking places per the ordinance, yet you generate a lot of traffic into the marina, and I have no idea what the revenue contribution is and how it flows through to the city. It's exemplary only. I could pick on the Osprey, I can pick on EcoTours, and I've done it equally in a way that if I look at EcoTours, what I see is a relatively high volume business that comes in two school buses, right? That's very different than renting individual kayaks and generating a tremendous amount of traffic. Strictly exemplary, by the way.
Have you seen my numbers? Do you know how many people are coming to the marina?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So you're guessing?
No, we're not guessing.
I'm asking for the data from Brian Berrigan, frankly, so that we understand in a fiscally responsible way for this city the impact of the businesses on the city's finances and that site, nothing more. Right. And by the way, you can contact me anytime, you know, independent and have a discussion. I don't have any issues and have never turned down a request from any of the tenants down there to meet with them and have a detailed discussion.
Yeah. I'm sorry that it has to come to that. All we're trying to do is what we've been doing for the last 26 years. Yeah. You know, our business, we don't keep as much inventory out there as we don't keep a glut of inventory out there. There's a limit to how many boats we have a day. Yeah. You know, and I feel like we do a good business, and I feel like we contribute to the community, and I frankly have never felt quite this way about the culture at the marina, and I feel like we're underappreciated and unappreciated by this new council, and I don't know why we haven't. We're good people doing work.
Nobody is challenging that. Nobody. You know, we are challenged with a marina that's overcrowded. And again, you know, I can go back to the referendum that was resoundingly defeated, 70% to 30%. The residents spoke clearly. They want control of the marina, right? What we're doing is trying to work with the confines that we have to work with to do the best we can as council members to find some compromise. I mean, these folks sitting out there, for the tenants, know how many meetings some of us have had individually, some in groups, to try to resolve it. And I'll tell you, the feeling sitting up here is we come to these meetings every month with no progress, right? So we're going to have a discussion today about how to make progress, and please be part of that, you know.
Well, it seems like to me that we go to a lot of meetings, and we have a lot of special meetings, and I meet with people individually, and we have some sort of reconciliation, and then here the next weekend, just everything just blows up. And like, I don't know about the rest of them, but I work for a living, and it doesn't have anything to do with the marina. You know, and I don't mind as part of the job, but if we're going to work hard to reconcile some of these problems, we would sure like to get a little bit of cooperation and respect from the tenants.
I understand. It bothers me when I see a piece of paper with Morgan Creek letterhead on it that's making claims of 30 feet and defying the rules of the ordinance, being handed to council. That's not the truth.
Have you just taken this up with him?
I have not. I'm here today to talk to you guys.
I didn't get a letter.
I didn't get a letter.
Yeah. I haven't seen that letter.
Well, I'm looking at it right now.
And
did you get it?
It was presented by Morgan Creek Rural at the special meeting. It was a letter with bullet points.
Okay.
Some of the things that he addressed
to
you.
That's what it was at the special meeting.
Not,
yes.
Yeah.
You have not seen it?
If it was one of the bullet points, we have seen it, but not specifically as a letter addressing that. Yeah. And by the way, we didn't go through those bullet points, bullet point by bullet point, in that meeting. And frankly, like you said, it is not up to us to decide where people are located in that marina site. So, you know, we're not going to solve that problem. just categorically, we are not going to get involved in that.
That's the marina operations.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We're not the boss. We're merely the landlord.
Right, right. Yeah. I had assumed you had all seen the letter and seen that we were taking up twice as much space as we were taking up and that we were in defiance of an ordinance. I assumed you'd read that.
You might want to consider meeting with Jay and see what y'all can work out. Are you on speaking terms?
Yeah, I've tried. We have a longer history. I just feel, you know, I don't know how to, what I'm good at? I'm good at doing nature tours. I'm good at doing kayak tours. I'm good at being outside.
It's a much more serene environment, I'm sure.
Sometimes, you know, a lot of times. Yeah. And I'm not good at this. You know, it's like, I don't know why. I thought you guys were here to sort of protect this sort of thing from happening. You know, I don't know who to talk to.
We have four leases. Sitting here, we have four leases. One with Morgan Creek Grill, Tidal Wave, Marina Joint Ventures, and the retail store. That's it.
We are not management. We are not management.
Yeah.
Y'all are your own management, and you really need to try to work on working things out. Because all we are, we're just landlords and making sure that the ordinances are followed as Randy said.
I can assure you, if 19 leases were under the control of this council, we'd have a different outcome.
Yep, I sure would.
I think I understand. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any other comments? Jay?
Jay Clark from Morgan Creek Grill. Thank you all. I want to respond to Chris's comments. Best of my knowledge, Morgan Creek Grill never sent a letter that, in fact, was the bullet points that we brought to the meeting. I measured the trailer a few months ago, and for many, many months, it took a 30-foot print, period. There are, you know, photographs, I guess, would point to that, and I actually went down with council members and pointed that out for Chris, for your information. When the trailer first moved over there, one of the side, it took up a space that was within Morgan Creek Grill's exclusive footprint adjacent to the entry to the docks in that area. It was supposed to be moved for the winter. It wasn't, so there were a few other things that it was not in compliance with the city. I think that's it. I just wanted to clear the record that I don't know what letter you're referring to and so forth. So
we don't have a letter.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other comments from tenants? Michael? No. All right, so moving on, as recommended, we'll move, discussion of ordinance 2018-09, item 6B, in front of the other items on the agenda. And if I may, let me, you might say this normally would be in the Public Safety Committee meeting, but we have a bleed over in these issues because of
Mr. Chairman, we need to have a motion to discuss. We have a motion to discuss, which I'll make a motion right now.
Yes.
In a second.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
So this ordinance came up really out of the Real Property Committee meeting because it was a suggestion of Linda Tucker at the time that we look at all properties on the island, all properties that could potentially provide overflow parking. Because we have a problem at the marina site in particular. And I know myself has put a lot of time into it. I've done special meetings recently with Desiree, with the Water and Sewer Commission. You know, my preference was let's use that property. And just for the record, I didn't accept the original letter that came from Water and Sewer. It said, because we're going to be expanding. When you really do further investigation, they did a nice job and very cooperatively with council. We have homeland security issues there. We cannot use that property for overflow parking. And the mayor, myself, Desiree are satisfied with the answer and the backup that they put behind that to put that issue to bed. So that puts us right back where we are. Now we had suggestions and they didn't originate from the Real Property Committee. They were brought to us as part of the discussion that the Citadel be used for overflow overflow, and the letter that came back from the Citadel through Linda Tucker at the time was, no problem, we can consider that since we're going to do this for Wild Dunes anyway, which was frankly a bit of a shock to those of us sitting up here, right? So this particular ordinance was brought without discussion to the last full council meeting, and I didn't understand it, candidly. And it was determined at that time, well, if they just want to park employees there, that we probably don't have to make an amendment to the SR1 zoning as it is. They can just do that. Well, there's been, you know, other backlash and other people looking at it, and I said, well, you know, I would tell Wild Dunes this personally. I don't believe that they can contain the hotel people footprint, as Elizabeth Campson has stated. You know, 153 room hotel with 130 something parking places and wedding venues without an overflow plan. What I think we have an obligation to address through this is the overflow is not into the neighborhoods. Right? I couldn't agree more with the comments that we need to look at it and working with proper zoning and ordinance change to state that, frankly, nice try, but no, we're not going to move one problem from one area and shift it over to another area at the same time. We are going to have an incredible onslaught of traffic from 41st into the entrance and exit of Wild Dunes over the next 2 years while they build this hotel. Right? So, you know, Jimmy, please weigh in.
I take the zoning ordinances very, very seriously. And people are always saying, well, we're just one step away from this mass overdevelopment in hotels and stuff. No, we're not. We protect our ordinances, hold them firm in place, remain steadfast, no changes at all, then we'll be fine. But we got to be vigilant and sneaking something in like this temporarily. Next thing you know, it'll be permanent. I can't support it.
Well, you can't set it as precedent. And setting it as precedent, in my opinion, just says the next SR1 that wants to go outside of the nonconformance.
Right.
Then we have another problem to deal with. And the answer is, if we need to, and I'd like to give city administration direction, if we need to add to the ordinance some specificity prohibiting this use, then let's do that. Let's come back with a legal opinion on what that would take and move it through the full council and just say, you know, honestly, we do not need more incursion into any neighborhoods in this city than we have already.
Right.
Residential communities.
And temporary or not, excuse me,
Mr. Chairman, but this had come out of our trying to find employee parking.
That's correct.
For the marina, which now we realize we really didn't have the authorization to do that, because within the lease it states that the employees are to be parked on the marina property. So therefore we've gone through all of these searches and looking for places and so forth and so on, when it really comes back to the marina lease that states all employees are to be given parking places on the marina site. So therefore our marina operator needs to simply make that happen. Now, I realize it is going to mean looking at the entire site and saying, well, some of the uses we have for it now may not be able to be used that way. Because if you take all the trailers and the cars that are parked by the Morgan Creek Grill, and you take the 65 places that are needed for them, and then we've got water sports that needs their places. And then on top of that, I thought, okay, Douglas, help me. To have a restaurant, how many parking places do you have to have for your patrons?
Excuse me, I think we're bleeding
into the next topic.
Yeah, we're bleeding into
that. But it's the fact that this ordinance, I'd like to just stay focused on this. But this ordinance does not even have validity in that we can't do this based on what it was designed to do.
Well, we just need to put it in bed, that's it.
Okay. Yeah.
My view of the ordinance when I understood it was dead on arrival anyway. And okay. Of course, you know, we do that through full council, but there was no intention from the Real Property Committee to entertain moving that specific ordinance forward. And in fact, there was more will to change it for specificity so that we don't allow the incursion into the residential neighborhood.
So that's why it's here now. Okay.
Well, I think, you know, for the record, we ought to have a vote.
Well, if I may, the ordinance, the 2018-09 ordinance, and it is our understanding, and Douglas, if you want to comment.
Absolutely, please do.
We believe that if the intention is to allow parking off Marina off-site parking in the residential districts, it would be necessary for this ordinance amendment to take place. However, as it is the case for the Citadel Beach House Club, it is the understanding of Douglas as the zoning administrator that the ordinance as it is written right now would allow that type of activity. If your intention is to prohibit that type of activity in that non-conforming use of that site, we would need a different amendment specifying in the ordinance that would be prohibited.
That is our intention. So I will make a motion that we move forward to understand the legality of that.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
That was easy enough.
Thank you, Douglas.
Great job.
That's very insightful.
Very precise.
Good job.
All right, so since we're bleeding into other subjects, let's move to...
That's done.
That's done.
Okay.
Well, I think you'll have an ordinance come back to
you.
Yes.
So for
understood.
Tonight, yeah.
But does that go to council first? To change the ordinance?
We could do first reading at council.
It could be up for first reading at the council meeting if we have enough time for the city attorney to draft it.
Right.
If not, it could come back to the committee
but
for your
this
review.
This one won't come to the council.
Yes, that will come because it was approved as for first reading. So we'll have second reading at the next meeting as well, at the next council meeting.
Our goal would be to have first reading at the council meeting if we can.
For the new one?
Yes.
For the new one.
But this one will still go for second reading at the next council meeting.
Yeah, that part's easy. Okay. Yeah. So in old business, update on alternate Marina offsite.
Yeah,
so council member Ferenc was sort of leading
Don't
into that.
Gun.
That's okay. So, you know, we're a little exasperated on this. There's no other way to put it. The alternatives are we have city-owned parking lots available that we made available that require shuttle, public works, you know, those areas that were not SR1 that we said all along employees can park there. That remains. We're not going to start recommending that churches and recreation centers and everything else that we've had issues with in the past become the venue for Marina overflow. We're done with that. Council member Ferenc mentioned it is explicit in the lease for Marina Joint Ventures that employees, all tenant employees, are to be provided free parking at the Marina site. So the instructions from this meeting going forward, all of the tenants, lease but through the city or sublease, have the right to park there without being charged. And if you would, Michael, let Brian understand that it's on him to figure out where. We're not going to keep having a parking debate every month that we can't solve. There's just no value in it for us. The other comment I'd like to make is I found it very disturbing over the past weekend to go down 41st and find from Waterway to the rear exit of the Marina spaces still being sold as if they're under the control of the Marina. They are not. And I took pictures, so if anybody cares to have them, they can have them. But it is not for the Marina to be selling our public right-of-way as part of the Marina property, period. And we let it go this past weekend and Memorial Day, but that stops. I think it's more disturbing that we feel like we're being ignored. And we are the landlord, and we are the tenant owners, if you will, of the public property that this city owns, not the Marina operator. So please take that message back as a strong message. That is public parking. It is going to be providing it moved through council, and I believe it will. It will be reserved for residents, right? We don't have resident parking at that Marina site right now. Other council members weigh in, please. Sam.
Agreed. And I don't know, is it being ignored because there's no signage? I mean, every time I hear anything about enforcement, there has to be a sign. So, you know, is it because nothing is signed there that says resident parking permit area? Is that what we need to do for that? Or can it just be an understanding?
We can't do that yet.
Right. Okay.
Right. So the issue at hand right now, until we have the ability, because it moves through council, to put signage up to say resident only, is instruct the Marina to confine their commercial operation to the Marina site. Right. That I believe we can do.
and to also ask our police force to enforce the fact that this is public parking.
Yeah.
That there need not be any hang tags there that show that it's been paid for.
Yeah. Yes. The other hang tags that were on the cars were employee hang tags, which is fine. Right? If they get there before somebody else, until it's resident only, they're entitled to park there. So, you know, no issue with that. But again, I think, you know, we don't know how to solve the parking problem at the marina when we believe the marina is overcrowded. Right, so at some point when you say you need X amount of parking places for the employees here, that leaves X amount available for the businesses, and the operator's gonna have to look at the businesses and decide, and not bully anybody or pick on anybody, how do you handle this? Now, I will, we can move on from that, because I think, you know, that's pretty specific, and I had added the agenda item to talk about the operational meeting that we had, and I think these subjects.
May I interrupt just 1 minute? Has this addition to the agenda been noticed to the public?
No.
We are allowed to add it on a two-thirds vote at the meeting.
If action only will be taken?
If no action is expected to be taken, it can be added on the agenda on a two-thirds vote. That's my understanding.
We're not taking action on anything.
Okay.
So, and by the way, I believe I could still cover it under item A. I just thought I'd be more specific. We have asked in old business, the last, if you read the minutes from the prior meeting, that the operators come forward with certain information. Launch data, you know, resident, non-resident, and specific plans to address these problems. We've yet to have any proposal come forward to this real property committee addressing any of the problems that we've been discussing since this council took office. Right, so we are asking, I've made a request through the city administration that we look at the leases of the subtenants. If you go through the fine print in the leases, the city approves those subtenants. I'm assuming there's an approval, but I don't know that because I've never seen anything. And that each of them are required to have a business license and name the city as a named insured party to those leases. Now, that data certainly should be made available to city administration prior to the next real property committee so that we can review what we are operating down there and ensure that it's compliant to the lease terms. And that's not to create data going forward if it doesn't exist, it's as of this request, does that data exist? The city would like to take a look at it and bring it back through real property. This is not dissimilar from other requests we've made to understand and be able to track gross income back down through the gross profit toggles of the lease and start to put fiscal controls in place for the marina so that we understand whether the city is being paid for the businesses operating there. Comments?
Well, the main person needs to hear is not here.
Yeah.
Does this need to be put in a memo, a written form, to the marina operators stating this is what we expect?
Desiree, have you asked for this?
From yeah, me? Absolutely. We can put it together, a letter, and send it to them.
Just, you know, a friendly reminder.
Yeah.
Hope to have it by July, because we're not going to meet in August.
No.
Right.
So. Any other comments?
No.
All right. I think it's just frustrating for us is, if we, you know, as a committee, we've tried to look at what we can and cannot do as a committee, and we're bound by the lease and our ordinances. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to go back to the lease and what it says and the ordinances and what they say, because as the landlord, we have no other options. Now, if the marina operator feels like they want to make some new changes into their lease, that's fine. We can address that. But we haven't been given any kind of indication that they're willing to look at the lease and what it says in terms of employee parking on the site, et cetera, et cetera.
I will bring up one other item under this same topic that I do think also has an impact on parking and the overall operation. And I had requested of Douglas Kerr some knowledge of business licensing, and I've had this discussion actually with Brian Berrigan. He has 9 charter boat fishing operations under lease. They have competition from non-leased charter boat operations, right? So this is kind of a two-part comment question. Do they have business licenses if they're operating, and should they? I believe the answer to that is yes. And you know, we can track the ones that we think are operating there and ask them to have a business license. But I think more importantly, I'm not personally, and I'll ask other council members to weigh in, interested in licensing more commercial businesses to operate, whether they're on premise or not, out of the Isle of Palms Marina.
Right. Well, let's ask for the information. Yeah. And I'm not going to speculate any further. I want to see the information if we don't get it.
Be specific on what information you want to see, right? Because there's two parts here.
The business licenses from the city and the sublease that exist and is signed and notarized.
Okay, this is different. This is a charter boat who decides that they're going to make contact through their website.
I understand.
And do a pickup at the marina and operate as a commercial entity at the marina.
Sure.
Yes, they need a business license, right? They're not going to have a lease agreement with Marina Joint Ventures under that term. They do create competition for those that are paying to the city out of that site, and they do create the same incursion of on capacity as a non-lease tenant. My perspective is we should look at it and address it and say, frankly, a non-leased charter boat captain that wishes to run out of the Isle of Palms Marina is not allowed. We don't need more businesses at the marina, right? So I would like to ask that you also come back, Desiree, with what would we need to do to enact something like that and be very specific and say, you know, sorry. I had a list that was handed to me anonymously of 10 additional charter boats operating under that. That brings a business total to 29 businesses that I've been made aware of. Right. When do we stop and just go, we're not big enough?
Have we asked for this information?
I don't know what information you're, and respectfully, I don't. The information, I have a list that I've provided to Douglas.
Yeah.
He's validating whether those boats are indeed operating out of there. There could be 10 more. The broader question is, do we want to open up the Isle of Palms Marina to non-leased charter boat operations to just come in and out of there, and presumably they're probably buying annual launch passes, right? I don't know. But I would just shut it down and say, we're not doing that, right? We have enough businesses down there now. Let's not add businesses. So no, there's nothing for them to come back on. We need to weigh in on, when do we say enough is enough, right?
Okay, so you've given Douglas directions.
And Desiree.
And Desiree, and they're on it.
You clear?
Like I said. Yeah. Not to reiterate things that we've already talked about, but is the marina operator well aware of all of the things we have asked for that we haven't received? For instance, have we eliminated non-resident annual launch passes? Has that happened? Or have we increased the non-resident launch
fees? Speak to it if you'd like.
We stopped it.
You stopped it.
We stopped non-resident guide starting the 1st of June.
Okay, and what about non-resident launch fees? Have they increased?
They just increased to the $20. Less than 5 years ago, yeah.
Okay, but nothing any farther than that. I'm just going back to what we had asked for previously and not knowing if we received that information.
I'd still like the counts on those. Where, how many did we sell? I mean,
I just told them that. You guys want to know.
Okay, thank you. By the way, I didn't have an expectation that you were coming with that tonight.
I have all that information.
Okay.
We talked about 41st. The question about, is there any place on the marina site where a resident can go and park for free?
Let me clarify that a little bit. This was humorous, right? So please take it for what it's worth. I was talking to Michael down there on my golf cart one day when a person pulled up and said, "Where do I park?" And I looked around, it was a sea of signs. And he's laughing, he said, "You happen to pick the one council member that happens to be down here right now." If I were to come down there without knowledge and I look around, the only place that I would say anyone can park that isn't pulling a trailer or doing business with one of these businesses without paying $10 is the 30-minute parking in front of the store. Right. So the question is, you know, if a resident asked us, where can I park? Is the answer, you got to be doing business with a store and you got 30 minutes. I just want to go down there and sit and watch the sun go down. Right? Where do I do that? And do I have to pay $10? And I think, you know, it's a legitimate residential question that should be addressed. Candidly, I don't have a lot of residents complaining about it right now, but when somebody comes up and asks me that question, I don't even know where to direct them anymore. I mean, there's a sign almost for every parking place down there.
Sandy, weren't you along on that trip when we spread Leola's ashes?
Yes.
Remember that?
And we could not find a place to park.
We could not find a place to park. And right. That was last March?
Right.
17, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They're saying, you're taking chances. And I came back. I didn't have a ticket, did you?
No. So I don't know how the enforcement
But we didn't
is.
We didn't know. I mean, there was no place for us to.
And I think there's a common sense way to, you know, first of all, I think when we do what we plan on doing with 41st, a lot of this is going to be addressed.
Yeah, right. At least a place to go.
But there's an inflection point when it is commercial business and it's commercial business crowded, but there seems to me there's a certain hour where there's just available parking, and whether the marina is attended or not attended, we certainly don't need to be charging residents to park in that lot. And as a gesture of goodwill to the residents, at least let them know that after 6 o'clock or whatever the witching hour is for that, you can come down here and park. If I were running it, I would do that. I don't think it costs you anything. I don't know any residents that are going to come down there and pay $10 to park anyway.
With all due respect, we're talking to the wrong people.
Well,
you know, the person we need to be talking to is the operator, and he's not here.
Yeah. I'm sure.
I see what you're saying. I agree 100%.
It's on record.
All right, it's on the record.
Yeah.
But I think that in whatever memorandum we're sending him in terms of the information that we want, all of this is included in terms of what
we as
a committee would like to see, and we'd like to see the plan. We've talked about it and talked about it and talked about it, and we don't have the information. It goes to the point that, you know, we've said this over and over again, that the residents of this island on that marina site are your best friends. I mean, they're the ones that are going to say, okay, now put some money into the docks, or put some money into this, or put some money into that. But if you only have commercial businesses there, residents aren't going to say, let's put money into doing this better. It just is a commercial entity. And I think what we haven't been able to crack the nut of is that the residents don't want a commercial marina. The residents want a marina that has the benefits of things that they would like to do, as well as, you know, some of the other businesses there.
Okay.
I think we've gone round and round and round.
Right, we've passed it over
and so now we just need to say, okay, now it's time. You go to the lease that you have, and you follow those topics in that lease, which means you have to provide employee parking, and we want a plan. We want to see how are you going to park all of the employees on this site. And also, as to Douglas's information for me today, how are you going to park the patrons for the deli and for the restaurant that is required for those businesses? Come back with a plan. That's what we want to see. Yeah.
Well, just have related information to the marine operator.
Well, let's move on to the original item B, update on the RFP for marina dock repair and replacement.
So the RFP is out. The full document is on the city's website, and it has been advertised in accordance with the city's procurement code. The deadline for questions is 5 p.m. on June 12th, and the deadline for submissions is the deadline for questions is at 5 p.m., and the deadline for submissions is 2 p.m. on June 25th. Part of the requirements of the proposal is for all the interested firms to conduct a site visit. As of today, 4 firms have either visited the marina so far or scheduled a meeting. So we'll be coming to you all with the proposals that we received on the 25th.
Okay.
Item C of old business, update on the removal and replacement of underground storage tanks.
Okay. Well, the contractor is scheduled to begin work at the public work site on July 1st. And the replacement of the tanks at the marina will begin in October.
Very good. So new business, consideration of engaging a real estate attorney. So we have engaged a real estate attorney on a non-related issue to the marina. My belief is we've probably exceeded our collective legal wisdom sitting up here on a pretty complicated lease. I will state for the record again, as I did when I was a citizen, the lease is horrible. It's got tons of subjectivity in it. And when I look at leases with subjectivity, you know, depending on which side of the aisle you're sitting on, you're going to interpret it differently. I think we need sound legal counsel moving forward to understand what we can do and what we cannot do with this lease. I think I understand it pretty well. But I got to tell you, I'm not comfortable. I wouldn't be comfortable with any attorney that participated in writing this lease, because it wouldn't appear to me that an attorney actually wrote this lease, right? So, you know, what I've requested is, and we'll have to consider it through ways and means. It's time. We have enough real estate issues on this island that we need good, sound, real estate advice. You know, whether it's the Citadel, whether it's the property where our property line runs through the middle of it, whether it's the marina, general purpose attorneys, and no disrespect to Sterling intended at all, we need some specialized help with these complex issues.
Right. Okay. Well, I agree. I'll give Desiree before Ways and Means, and let's look at that line item in the budget.
Okay.
So you can see if they're going to take recycled cans.
So we've covered everything else under new business. We're on to miscellaneous business, tenant reports.
I'm sorry. I should have asked Debbie. I don't know if they're all current.
Okay.
I will report it Ways and Means, though.
Oh, that'll be fine.
Good.
That'll be fine. So that leaves us with just the next meeting date, which...
We're doing the same.
No, we're not, because it's the 4th of July.
It's the 4th of July, the first Wednesday.
Unless you'd like to spend the 4th of July sitting here with your best friend.
We're saying, okay, we got the monthly. Okay,
we're actually doing that Tuesday, Marie, which is the 5th?
Third.
I knew it was front and back.
I have every confidence that the Recreation Committee won't meet, because it's right in the middle of all the camps and everything going on.
Okay, so every confidence, if they haven't claimed it already, we are claiming it.
No, they
have not claimed it.
We will have that at 4 o'clock on July 3rd.
July 3rd?
That's Tuesday? Yes.
Yes. Day before 4th of July.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. That's zoning appeal. You're doing it in the morning, okay.
Well, it's at 4 p.m. 5:30.
Okay, so we're good.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.